We are grateful for each one of you who have come out this morning, and I trust that you are looking forward to a time of fellowship as we have breakfast. And I was sitting in the kitchen while part of that was coming in, and it looked pretty appetizing. I think there's some stuff worth eating out there, okay? So we won't keep you much past 12 o'clock, okay? You know, this morning is probably the most popular morning across this nation and really around the world for Christian churches and the attendance. People come to church and they celebrate Easter morning because that's the time that we celebrate Christ's resurrection. It's talked about in Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew 28. Verses 5 and 6. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. No other religion in the world has this message that the Christian religion has. He is alive. He is risen. They can show you, you know, where Buddha's buried and where Muhammad is buried, and they can show you where all these other founders of religions. But Jesus established our religion when he rose from the dead. God, through his Holy Spirit, raised him up. And what a message that the women received that morning as they got to that tomb. He is not here. That's the same message we have this morning. He is not dead. He is alive. And we worship him because he is alive. After 2,000 years, our message has not changed. It's still the same because he's still not here upon the earth. He rose from the dead on that Easter Sunday morning, as he said he would. 40 days he showed himself. He ministered among the people. And for 40 days, people saw him and realized and ate with him. I mean, he did all the things that would make people comfortable and make them understand that he was real. He was not just an apparition someplace. When he sat down, he ate with them. And, you know, he said, told Timothy, doubting Thomas, come put your finger in the print of the nails. Thrust your hand into my side. He was real. He was physical. But he was also the Son of God. And that's who we celebrate this morning. That's who we worship this morning. We worship the Son of God. And he is alive, he is well. If we place our trust and our faith in him, God will save us. He will give us eternal life. He will send the Holy Spirit to indwell us. And in Romans 10th chapter, verse 9, a lot of people think this is very difficult to come to a point of being able to be saved. But in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it tells us just how simple it is. It says if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. That's all it takes, folks. It just takes believing. So Jesus prepared his disciples for the time when he was going to be no longer with them. But he had promised that he would not leave them alone or without help. He promised that he would have everything that they needed to get through this life. In John 14, verses 15 through 20, it says, If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Verse 20 says, at that day. And it's referring to the day that we will meet Jesus in eternity, either through death or through the rapture when he comes for his church bride. And that is the next event that we are looking for. And as we look around at circumstances in the society that we're living in right now, I don't see how it can be very long. But then Paul, 2,000 years ago, thought the same thing. And so we must realize that we do not know the time when he's going to come for us. But we do know he has promised to come for us, and he has kept and will keep all of his promises. No other message other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rose from the dead and is at the right hand of God making intercession for us. No other message in the world will save any soul. That is the message that has saved your soul. That is the message that has made it possible for the Holy Spirit to indwell you. It talked about a comforter coming and being with us and in us. And on the day of Pentecost, that promise was fulfilled. Every single person who has ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ has had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit since the day of Pentecost. He is living in you this morning if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He will live there continually till you meet Jesus in eternity. We meet this here this morning to commemorate about 2,000 years of history, of time when a group of women came to a place where 3 days earlier they had observed the body of someone they loved very deeply being entombed. They wondered how they would ever move the large stone that was at the entrance of that tomb. For those of you who have not been in that part of the world, normally the tombs were simply a hollowed out spot in a rock. There was no furniture or anything. There was just a slab, a part of the rock where the body was laid. And that's where it was. So the ladies came to do the service that normally would be done for the dead that they could not do on the day of preparation or on the holy day. They came to wrap the body and cleanse it and take care of it. I am sure they dreaded the job that they had to do. They knew that this had been done before. They had done it before for their family members, for their loved ones. They anticipated that there would be the odor of death. I can't say they were disappointed when they got there and the tomb was empty. What a blessing. But it was a blessing that would go on for as long as it takes for him to come back. It's been 2,000 years now, folks. That tomb is still empty. He is alive. He's risen from the dead. In Mark 16, 4 through 8, Mary and Salome remained at the scene while Mary Magdalene ran to tell the disciples that the tomb was empty, that somebody had stolen the body. In Mark 16, we have it recorded. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he said unto them, Be ye not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they were trembled and were amazed, and neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. The reactions on that first Easter morning were varied, but incredulous. The reactions on this Easter morning will be varied. For the most part, deceitfully disastrous for all the children who looked at Easter as a time of bunnies and candy. We have a responsibility, folks, to tell them what Easter is really all about. It's not about Easter bunnies, it's about Jesus. And I sincerely hope that no Christian family would replace Jesus with an Easter bunny. I would hope that no grandparent would deceive their grandchild by making Easter about a rabbit rather than Jesus. How and when does a person go about explaining that they were not truthful about what Easter really was, what it represented? Will the children believe the story of Jesus when they are teens, after they've been lied to about the Easter bunny? I don't think so. We're gathered here this morning because there is no Easter bunny. But there is a man called Jesus of Nazareth. And that man was also the Son of God, and he went to the cross to pay the price for our sin. He shed his blood on the cross and he died. He was taken down from that cross and placed in a borrowed tomb. When they came to the tomb 3 days later, he was not there because he had risen from the dead as he promised he would. 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. That's the Apostle Paul writing that. There is so much evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. Not just in the Bible, but in our hearts. As we meet here this morning, Jesus is at the right hand of God making intercession for each one of us because he knows what lies ahead for each of us. He's at the right hand of God because he paid for all of our sin. And he has a purpose for each one of us. We hold this early service as a memorial of what happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus rose from the dead that Easter morning. He fulfilled the promise of providing eternal life for all who seek it from him. I know that Mary Magdalene rejoiced to find Jesus arisen and alive forever. John 20 tells us of the experience. John 20, beginning at verse 11 through 18. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. she still did not believe what Jesus had promised. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to be master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Even after Mary told the disciples, they didn't believe her. Nothing like this had ever happened before. We hold an early service so that we too can celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior near the beginning of the day, as it was with women. This morning we're celebrating the fact that we have eternal life because he lives. Jesus Christ overcame death for us, so that we need not fear death, because it no longer has a hold on us. Because he lives, we will live also. This morning, if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, we celebrate today the fact that he does live. You cannot celebrate that because you don't know him. He is nothing to you. So this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would ask and share with you the fact that it is so easy to know him. All you have to do is believe. And the evidence is here in this book. Jesus Christ was virgin born, so that he would not have a sin nature. He lived a sinless life because he had no sin nature and he was God. And then he paid the ultimate price for your sin. The blood that he shed on that cross was to cover you, the sin in your heart. Without it, you cannot be saved. Without that shed blood, there would be no salvation. But he shed his blood. God has told us, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. The blood has been shed. He gave up his life, for the life is in the blood. And then he was buried. 3 days later, God's Holy Spirit caused him to rise from the dead. For 40 days he was seen by various people, hundreds of people. He continued to minister to his disciples, to prove to the world that he lives. And because he lives, we can all live also. All you have to do is believe that the Bible is true. Believe that the story of Jesus Christ is true. Just believe. And then ask him. Go to him in prayer and ask him to forgive your sin and to save you. And the Bible says he will. That's what we celebrate this Easter morning. Had he never rose from the dead, we would not be celebrating Easter. Easter is his resurrection. And he has promised, it promises, we'll get to it in a morning service. But God has promised, if God, through Paul telling us, if God raised Jesus from the dead, he will raise us from the dead too, who believe upon him. That's the story we have this morning, folks. That's the truth of the gospel, as simple as it can be. Most of the world does not believe it. I just saw a recent statistic, only we have dropped from 70% of people who believe the story of Jesus to 47% in this country, below 50%. We have put on our sign out here the story. And so, folks, we are ministering to everybody who drives by and looks the truth. And that's why God has put us here. That's one of the purposes, that we might fulfill the truth of the gospel. It's very early yet. I'm going to close in a minute. But I want you to understand, if you don't know Jesus, it's so easy to come to be his disciple, to be saved. And I ask that you might do so as we come to a close of this part of the service. The ladies are going to need a few minutes after we're done here to get breakfast put out, but they will get it. And then we're going to spend some time fellowshipping and maybe even listening to some testimonies of what we can all celebrate this day between now and the time that we resume for our morning service. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to ask right now that every head be bowed, every eye closed. This morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would ask that you might just slip up your hand that I can pray for you. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, just where you're at, nobody's looking around right now. Just slip up your hand and say, Brother McBride, would you pray for me? I don't know Jesus. Father, you see hearts. You know hearts. You know lives. You know the truth. You are the truth. Father, we ask this morning that if there is a heart here who does not know Jesus, may today be the day when they do come to know him. Thank you, Father, for each one you've brought out here this morning. We ask that you will continue to bless our time of fellowship as we meet together to eat breakfast and to be a blessing to the people in our lives. Thank you for establishing this ministry. Thank you for supporting it. Thank you for using us. And we praise you for all that you are doing. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.